So Jesus said, if you really want to be a disciple, what is the first qualification? He said what? Deny yourself. That's very hard for any one of us, because we all like attention. You know what the word deny means? It means to forget about one's desires. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, we are glad to have you with us today as Roel returns to 1 Peter to examine the promise of Jesus' return in the clouds. You know, it's easy to get caught up in life's daily struggles and demands and take your eyes off of heaven, but today you'll be inspired to keep Christ at the center of all you do. Stay with us for encouragement to stay focused on Jesus, awaiting His coming while pointing others to His love through the witness of your life. Now with today's study, here's Roel Reese.
Let's go back and read just for a second 1 Peter chapter 4 from verses 1 to 6, and we'll pick up verse 7 tonight. Pretty incredible what Peter says here. He says in chapter 4 verse 1, he says, therefore, he says, Christ suffered for us in the flesh, then arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sinning, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in the lewdness and lust and drunkenness and rivalries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also even to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but to live according to God in the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's pretty. When I went back and read that the other day, it just kind of reminded me again that a lot of times people don't understand the word of God, that there is a day of judgment coming. Believe it or not. And I think it's really important that we're very careful in knowing and recognizing what God is going to be doing, that we never, ever try to judge people, not knowing all of the circumstances, but allowing the Holy Spirit to work in the way that is moving here at Calvary, the way He's moving in different places today. There's a whole new movement that God has for us. And it's really important that we understand that even as we're living in the last days, because now in verse 7, look what he says. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Notice what he's saying here. Now these are the things that are going on. He says, but don't forget that the end of the world is very close, even in their own time. And yet 1900 years already have passed, and yet Jesus has not come back yet. Now, I get excited when I read that, because studying God's word and keeping with current events and reading and checking out things, I get excited because I'm telling you personally that Jesus is on his way. You can't help it to see what's happening when you know eschatology, prophecy. So you think about what's going on in America today and the world, and then Peter comes up and they're having great persecution with the Roman Empire. And yet one of the great comforts that I have in my life that I want to give to you is that I really believe in my heart of the promises of God that the church will never, ever, ever go into tribulation. God says that He has never appointed us unto wrath. Jesus himself, in talking to his own disciples, he said in John 14, remember verse 1 through 5, he says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, believe also that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come back again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you also will be with me. That's a promise. Either God is true or he's a phony. And he lies. And God doesn't lie. Because there's a lot of young mommies that are concerned about their children. And I've talked to a lot of people in the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ. My neighbors, they're really concerned what's really happening in the world today. People losing their jobs, losing their homes, losing their income. But it's not just in the United States of America. The whole world is being prepared for the Antichrist to come and make and set order for a one world government. You got to focus on that. That's what the Bible teaches. And yet Paul, Peter, and John, and Jesus tells us that the church will never be here for that. We won't be here. Now, that brings up an important point. And this is real important. If the real church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, salt and light, that's what we are, and we're here, then we're not going to be here for the worst things to come yet. Then who is going to be here? The carnal Christian. The one that is split between serving God and serving the world. The one that is not fully committed to Jesus Christ. You're playing in the world and you're playing church. You really have to make up your mind if you really, truly want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let me give you what he says. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Here is what he says. These are the qualifications. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now you notice, first of all, that he gives you the freedom of what? Choice. In order for me to come after Jesus Christ, I have to desire him. Or else I won't come to him. Why would I want to come to him? So he's talking to people that are desiring to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Of course, then in John chapter 3, later on, Jesus, in talking to Nicodemus, the religious leader of Israel, one of the 72 in the Sanhedrin, the government of Israel, he snuck out by night and came to Jesus and he asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Imagine that. And Jesus told him what? You've got to be born again. He didn't say you got to join this church or that church or this church. You got to do all these things. He never said that. He says you've got to be born again. If you're not born again of the Holy Spirit, you'll never see God and you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Read it. So Jesus said, if you really want to be a disciple, what is the first qualification? He said what? Deny yourself. That's very hard for any one of us. Because we all like attention. You know what the word deny means? It means to forget about one's desires. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. There has to be a denying of yourself to follow Jesus Christ, which means you got to become nothing. Nothing. Secondly, what does he say? And take up his cross. Wow. You know what the cross is? Whenever you get a chance, read up on the cross. You'll blow your mind. If I'm to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, the cross, listen to this, the cross is the instrument of death. Are you willing to die to yourself?
Because then he says, if you deny yourself, then you can take up your cross. Then he said what? Follow me. Then you can follow. And then he said something else. Verse 25. For whosoever desires to save his life. What do people do today? It's all about self. They want to save their lives. They don't want to lose their lives. He says what? You'll lose it. Literally, what he's saying, if you don't follow Jesus Christ and you do whatever you please today, at the end, you're going to end up in hell. You're going to lose your life eternally. But if you lose your life now, then in time to come, you'll gain it. It's eternal. This is temporal. Everything's going to burn one day. Your body will go back to the earth because it's earthly, but your soul and your spirit is what goes to heaven or what goes to hell. And so he goes on and he says what? He says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, notice my sake, capital M, will find it. Or what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world? So you get millions of dollars, you have hundreds of women, you have hundreds of men, you got it all, man. The house, the cars, everything. And you're happy. You say you're happy, but you're not really. Think of people that have everything, they're unhappy, but they pretend. You talk to them, oh man, yeah, everything's so cool, so nice. He says what? Check this out. He says, what profit to a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Think about that for a moment. What do people exchange their soul for? Many things. The soul, why? Because that's the most important thing. That's the only thing you'll be able to take to heaven or to hell. Your body will go back into the earth.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We'd like to take just a moment and remind you that we are here to help you grow your faith and strengthen your relationship with Jesus. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for a wealth of resources. You can also download our free app to infuse your life with Scripture 24/7. Let's continue now with more from Raul Reese.
So it's really important for us to make up our minds whether we want to have one foot in the world, one foot in Christ, then you're going to have a split personality. You're not going to be sold out. God can't use you the way he wants to use you. It's really important what Peter is saying here. Why? Because Peter is talking about his own days, just like our days. We're living in days like Peter. Prophetically speaking, the Lord is coming back again. Now, if we really are living in the last days, then what manner of people are we to be? We are to be what? Holy people. Be you holy, for I am holy. Hebrews chapter 14, 10, he says, no one will ever see the Lord apart from holiness. Christians in the early church expected Jesus to return in their lifetime. As the church today, we're expecting the Lord to come back. There are more signs today that have been fulfilled prophecies than ever before. In Romans 13, 12, he said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Notice the exhortation Paul gives to the church. Get rid of the darkness. Put on the light. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now there are many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is what? The last hour. That was 1900 years ago. Why? Because one day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like one day to the Lord. God doesn't live in a timetable. He's going to come when everything according to the divine prophecy will be done. And Israel is one of the greatest signs of all signs. It's going to be a done deal. God's in control. And we are the church for the last 1900 years. And the church is going to be taken out of the way so that God can deal with Israel. So we're living in pretty exciting times. So Peter has this urgency. Why? He's been with Jesus. Just like John the Beloved in Revelation 22:20, he says, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." That should be our prayer. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Why? I'm ready, Lord. But if you're not ready, you see, then there's no peace in your life. Because you're playing in the world and you're playing in the church. You're not really fully committed to what God called you to do. And that is to know Him intimately. To know Him as your Lord and your Savior fully and completely. The church today needs a real revival like back in the 70s. A real revival. When real revival comes, the Holy Spirit is poured out. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit does, it transforms people's lives. And there's a change. And there's a hunger and a thirst for God in His Word. To know Him intimately like never before. And that's why I am praying, just like Peter here. In verse 7, he said what? But the end of all things is at hand. The word end here is the word teleos in Greek. It's a very important word. It means a consummation or a good time to remember that everything is coming to an end. This is it. This is a word that is used by John the Baptist in Matthew 3:2. And then also Jesus used it in Matthew 4:17. And then James uses it as an expression of relationship to the Lord's return in James 5:8. So all the way through, this word is used about the end of the world. And yet it is costly to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is no cheap grace. Remember that. No cheap grace. It's real grace. Unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We come by faith to Jesus Christ, period. And yet people that are playing in the church and outside of the church, they never really have peace in their lives. And guess what? Your testimony is not good. Because people that know you, friends and loved ones, they'll never come to Christ because they call you a hypocrite. It's real important for all of us to understand this. Because these are days when we go to work, when we go to play, wherever we go, we don't have to preach. Our lives will speak louder than anything else. People will see Christ in you, man. They'll see the Holy Spirit. Because they'll see you making a stand. Making a stand. The reason Dale and I, a lot of us, had to cut off our friends is because they're drinking, they're taking drugs. We don't want to be around stuff like that. That was our life before. They know what we stand for. And there's things that I don't do in my life because I don't want to get trapped and I don't want to bring a bad testimony to the church or to my family, but most important, to the Lord. So I'm very careful. I recognize, being in war, I recognize that this world has a lot of booby traps. So we need to understand that if the Lord is really going to come back soon, then we need to change our behavior. The way we talk, the way we do things as Christians. Because if we don't, it's like your parents or your grandparents or son or daughter say, "Well, you know what, mom and dad, I really haven't seen it change your life." But how many times I hear that testimony? My mom and dad, man, are amazing. They've changed. They're fanatics now. That's a good word. Yep, I'm a fanatic for Christ. That you don't take the gospel and shove it down people's throats. You don't do that. Live for Christ. And Christ will live through you. You'll blow your mind. And Peter was in a place where he knew, remember, who's Peter? He's the one that denied the Lord. Can you imagine that? He's telling these guys, "The Lord's coming, but I deny the Lord." 3 times, you guys. I mean, is it believable? There was a change on the day of Pentecost. Peter was never the same. He was transformed. He became born again of the Holy Spirit. He stood up and he said, men of Galilee, remember the big old speech he gave? In chapter 2, the baptism comes, and then he gets up in verse 14, and he tells them exactly, he gives an exegesis of everything that's taken place biblically, so they'll know that God is not the author of confusion. Everything that's happened was already in the Old Testament, and now it's fulfillment. When you live a life of holiness before God, then people will listen to you. They'll listen to you. Because you got something to say. But if they see you here, they see you there, and they hear the things that you're doing, guess what? There's no respect for you. Husbands, dads, make a stand tonight. Moms, make a stand tonight. Sons and daughters, make a stand. Be holy, for I am holy, he says. No one will ever see the Lord apart from holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. Let me read the verse, what he says. Check this out. Verse 7. That the end of all things is at hand. And then he says this. Therefore, that starts now to tell you, this is why I'm telling you this. He says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Three things. Notice, serious, watchful, and praying. Three things, he says, that need to be done. We need to be what? We need to be serious with God. That word serious there literally means, it means soundness of mind or sound in judgment in the Greek. Make sure that you are sound of mind. Your mind is clear because you're reading, you're praying, you're attending church, you're doing what's right. It has to be real. People have to be real. There are so many people that are going to hell, and we need to reach out to them and pull them in before it's too late. And I'm not talking people in the streets. I'm talking about your family, your friends that need Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is at hand. He's coming soon.
Will suffering and self-denial become easier to endure knowing that one day all of our sorrows will cease and we will joyfully worship the Lord Jesus with the multitudes? You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is available in its complete form with much more teaching for a donation of $5 or more. To get your copy, just call us at 800-634-9165 and mention today's teaching from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Now, as you think about the wonder of a heavenly home, we'd like to further enrich your faith with Raul's entire study of 1 Peter. This 42-lesson series is available on both CD and USB. Exploring how to navigate life's hardship with Jesus' peace and power, you'll see that you can confidently entrust your future to His care. You'll also learn about the blessings that come from serving as a bold witness of the gospel. To order Raul's 42-part 1 Peter series, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the flash drive for $42 or the CD set for $63. That's 800-634-9165. You can also write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. All of our free resources are easy to access from home or on the road as you take vacations this summer. The Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel is a hub of excellent teaching with podcasts of past programs as well as live-streamed messages. You'll also find our podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese is fully listener-supported. We'd like to say thank you for your tax-deductible gifts. Your partnership is crucial to this ongoing ministry. Next time, we'll continue in 1 Peter with more motivation to serve as living witnesses of the gospel, understanding that Christ could return any day and time is short to share the hope of His salvation. Now, with the closing comment, here's Raul once again.
Think of all the chances, all the opportunities that God has given to you and He's given to you again over and over, places where you could have got hurt, you could have got killed, and yet God was there with you. We're still here. Why? Because God has a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives. When he's done, I told him, Lord, take me. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to stay here as long as he uses my life. When he's done, I'm done. I don't want to be here. This is not my home. Even though I have beautiful granddaughters and grandson and my sons and my wife, I want to be with the Lord. That's what I'm looking to be with Jesus Christ and looking to, for them to come along in the future to be with us in the Lord. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven? When we're all there together in the presence of the Lord and we're hearing the words, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Because we serve a holy God and we are a holy people.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.